Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Walk or Order One's Steps by Means of the Spirit of God. I'm going to be reading from Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and it led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Araba, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. Because the swarms and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." The latter part of the book of Ezekiel speaks of the millennial kingdom. of Christ. And if you know some things about the book of Ezekiel, you know that the Spirit of God left the temple because of the sin of the people of God. In fact, we note in the book of Ezekiel that the Spirit of God was grieved away because of the sin of the people of God. And yet, there is also hope. It was after the crisis of judgment, crisis of divine discipline for 70 years. People of God would be able to come back out of both spiritual and physical exile from Jerusalem and from their country, Judah. But divine discipline becomes necessary when the people of God walk in disobedience to God, when they allow that which is less than God to control their lives. There are various types of idolatries that are spoken of in the Old Testament. It is very important to understand spiritual power or the powers behind idolatry. And that takes an understanding of biblical demonism, because the Old Testament teaches that idolatry is energized by demons. Demons are immaterial, evil spirit beings. The Bible is very open about this topic, because God wants his people to know and to understand that the principles that he delivered to them were given for their prosperity and protection, not to hamper their lives, not to enslave them, but to free them from enslavement. That is why the second book of the Old Testament is called Exodus, the way out. God gives his people and provides a way out of enslavement for his people. But if you will note in the history of the people of God, it was their practice to remember Egypt. It was a default this was their default thinking. We will return to Egypt. Even when they were oppressed by their enemies in their own land, they would try to seek a relationship with Egypt. And so there is this spiritual application for what Egypt means or meant to the people of God during the time of the Old Testament and even today. The people of God may want to turn to their former ways of living, to their own or to their own personal Egypt, or maybe they have never left Egypt and they are still in bondage. The Spirit of God breathes. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It is important to note that the Spirit of God wants and desires that the people of God live in spiritual liberty. so that we may serve God with peace of heart, so that God may prosper us, that we might produce the fruit of the Spirit. So, Ezekiel chapter 47 is about the return of the Spirit of God. If you will remember, water is a symbol of the Spirit of God. Water is life-giving. Water is life-giving. Please keep that in mind for today. And when you read about the political discourse that is going on throughout the world, there is this attempt or desire to remove water from common usage. There has been and there is within the history of the church this struggle between the cosmos and Uranos, the cosmos, world, or age, or system, and Uranos, the heavenly system that originates with God. They are antithetical. There is no synthesis or synthesis. There's no blending of the two. Although there have been attempts to magically somehow join the two together. And now we see the creative dishonesty of those who attempted to synthesize the cosmos with Uranos, because now the cosmos pulls back. And those who say they have represented Uranos find themselves denuded or laid bare. Church's mandate has been, or the mandate of God's, well, God's mandate for the ecclesia has been to, or the church has been to, walk by means of the Spirit. It is when we walk by that we find spiritual healing. But to walk by means of the Spirit also requires, on our part, a focus on what that means. And so, let me say that it means more than having a cognition or an understanding of a few facts about what the Scripture teaches. To order one's step or steps by means of the Spirit of God requires concentration, a focus on doing so. So in Ezekiel 47, notice the conversation that is going on. The focus again of this chapter is on healing and life, or the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit of God, who is symbolized by water. In verse 3, we read again, as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And then led me through water that was ankle deep. And so the ankle deep water is symbolic of the walk of the believer. The walk of the believer. Verse 4, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. The knee deep water represents or speaks of prayer, spiritual life, or the individual who orders his steps steps by the Spirit of God must also be a person of prayer. The water is the wonderful constant. The Holy Spirit is our wonderful constant. And so, knee-deep water bespeaks prayer or speaking with God. We are told that in the book of Hebrews that we may go boldly before the throne of grace and find grace to help or strength in time of need. He is our, that is Jesus, is our merciful and faithful high priest. And Jesus died for us according to Romans chapter 15. He died at a point in time, aorist. He was buried at a point in time, aorist. And he stood up, perfect tense. And because of his finished work, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Because of his finished work of salvation, the word salvation means to rescue. Because of his finished work of salvation or rescue. The word for salvation in the Old Testament is Yeshua. The Old Testament name for Jesus is Yeshua. He is the Yeshua of God. The book the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, there is no J in the Hebrew alphabet, which is called consonants. There is a Y. So instead of being called the book of Joshua, it is appropriately entitled the book of Yeshua. Yeshua. So as to his finished work, Jesus sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. As for his high priestly work, he is there for us. So when we pray to him, when we lift up our concerns to him, when we give him what is pressing down upon our hearts, when we share our sorrow with him or our sorrows, when we let him know what is grieving our hearts, when we go before him in prayer, for instance, as in Romans 8, we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God, as it were, the Holy Spirit fixes our prayers with appropriate groans that cannot be uttered. That is the work of the Spirit. It is the believer who orders his steps by the Spirit of God, who has a wonderful prayer life. It is the believer who is in water that is knee-deep, who has a wonderful prayer life. These individuals know that we are to pray without ceasing. As Paul said in Ephesians 6, he says that the capstone of the armor of God for the believing one is prayer. It's prayer. It is prayer. Prayer is speaking and talking to God. Believing prayer, effective prayer, knows that there is a communion going on. There is that koinonia. There is that joint things in common. There is that surrendering or giving over to God. The concerns, the distress, the hopes, the fears, the joy, the happiness, the sorrow, the problems that we face in this life. We take these things to God in prayer. The writer goes on. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. The water that was up to the waist speaks service. We serve the living God who has given everything to us through Christ. We serve him. Jesus serves us. Jesus himself said that his will or his food was to do the will of the Father. That was his food, his sustenance. And so, when it comes to our lives, we serve the living and true God. And we are blessed in our service because that is when that service is done to glorify God. As believer priests, we offer up the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. We praise, we lift up the name of God for what he has done for us. And then we show forth, Peter says that we show forth the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, the sacrifice of praise. We render our service to him because we want to be blessed by God. We bless God. We say or we pronounce God blessed. We praise God. And we worship God, and this is an organic unity. The walk, the knee deep, or the individual kneels in prayer, and then the water that was up to the waist for service. This is organic. As it were, flow together. This creates fulfillment in the heart of the believing one. This comforts the soul. I give back to service, to my service, to my daily service. I give back to the one who has liberated me. Everything about me, my mind, my eyes, my ears are sanctified. My tongue does not curse, but my tongue blesses others. My tongue does not slay or wound or seek to murder through slander another believing one. My tongue does not murder or slander my enemy, but my tongue is used to heal. It is used in a wholesome manner. It is used not to shatter others. Through my words, through virulent words or violent words, my tongue is used to heal and to create hope and to glorify God. My tongue becomes disarmed. My tongue is not weaponized against those who disagree with me so that I may walk in freedom, serve the living and true God. Next, in verse 5, we read, he measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. The water here that was deep enough to swim bespeaks the fullness of the Spirit of God. The fullness of the Spirit. The completeness of the Spirit of God. We have a complete salvation. We have a completed salvation. We live in completeness when we are filled with the Spirit. Frees us from the past, that is still our present. The Spirit frees us from bitterness about the past or the present. The Spirit frees us from resentment that happened in the past, or maybe it is present tense. The Spirit frees us from having a very negative self-image, because our focus is no longer on ourselves, it is on the Spirit. We are most miserable when our focus is on self and try to gratify the self and measuring the self and improving the self and trying to fit the self in a mold that others have given us. And said we will find life fulfillment if we follow algorithm or this formula. And notice here we are talking about or speaking about water, the water of the Spirit, a primal force that we need in Genesis chapter 1. We are born of the water and of the Spirit, primal force. Water is prior. And so the Spirit of God is prior to the creation of the physical universe. In fact, it is He who is here. Of the physical, what we call the physical universe. The fullness of the Spirit frees us from ourselves, creates completeness within the heart, creates comfort, creates peace, creates love, joy, peace, goodness, mercy, etc. We have satisfied lives because we have satisfied life, but we come to understand the fullness of Spirit. We're no longer defensive. We're no longer ready, or we don't have our tongue ready to defend where we are, what's going on. We have peace with God that passes understanding. It is wonderful to know the Holy Spirit of God. It's wonderful to live in the fullness of the Spirit of God. This is our gift. My prayer today is that you would avail yourself of God's great gift, that is, to walk by means of the Spirit. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.